another Fact podcast.
I'm Dr. Fred Clary, founder of Functional Analysis Chiropractic Technique, a chiropractic technique based on movement and breathing. Well, today I thought I'd try to get a quick podcast out before I run to the office for a long and busy Wednesday afternoon slash evening shift at the clinic. I've had some friends in town. Shout out to Dr. Rich May and shout out to Dr. Jason and his wife, Dr. Kathy, that are getting some work done by my friend about with stem cells and PRP. My last episode I talked about this and how the federal government stopped the continued use of your own blood for healthcare reasons under the wise hands and guidance and operation and procedures of a duly licensed medical doctor in that state. In other words, they thought they were better than, you know, what the doctor's education, procedures, research has done, personal research in the office or in the clinic or nationwide, and basically said, you don't own your own blood. So that, and how it's really slowed down progress in regenerative medicine since then. In other words, trying to slow down and prevent disease and try to treat disease more conservatively. You know, instead of getting a shoulder replacement, knee replacement, maybe injections with your own cells and growth factors would help. So we talked about that, and then having a few conversations over the last 2 weeks with these three doctors, I finally realized, you know, I'm going to do another little podcast about what health is, maybe what health is not, what we've been taught through TVs and media, public education, our teachers, preachers, parents, friends, what health is. Now, I'm going to do a quick definition here, and I want you to realize that the healthcare system isn't about health. It's not about health at all. It's disease care. Let me say that again. Our healthcare system is disease care. One of the first things you got to break in your mind is that the majority, 99% of all MDs, God love them, they treat disease. They treat trauma, you know, poisonings, gunshots, broken bones, lacerations, cancer, you know, internal conditions where organ is starting to fail. That's not health. That's disease. And somehow we've gotten it twisted 180 degrees, okay? What health is. Traditional allopathic, and allopathic just means what modern medicine is, but traditional allopathic healthcare, what they define is what, you know, health is merely the absence of disease. Disease that they can measure. The foundation of this definition has limited allopathy, or modern medicine, to limit its goals on the eradication of pathogens in the environment, which may cause disease, or the attainment of certain lab values. In other words, you get your blood drawn. Well, we know if you get too low in your thyroid hormone here, we see symptoms and disease. And if you get too high, we hear good symptom disease. Oh, your labs came in the middle, your marker, your thyroid hormone marker came in the middle, well then you're healthy. Well, what if your body, your cells, your organs needed 10% more? Your genetics, your environment, internal and external, require 10% more to be healthy. Because you're still on the low end of that spectrum, whatever that number is. Let's say the number is 1 to 10, okay? And 1 sickness and 10's disease. If on that spectrum you are 2, they would say, oh, your numbers are right there, but I still have symptoms. Because not knowing, your normal, your average, say, is 7, or your average is 4. That's what your body needs to feel healthy, to function at 100%, to be successful and thriving. No symptoms and taking on the world. But you get that lab value, whatever it is, whatever marker it is, whether hormone, enzyme, metabolite. Metabolite means a byproduct of metabolism of some organ. Whatever that substrate is, that chemical is, if that marker is in what they find is a range, and those ranges change over the decades, just like blood pressure keeps changing, normal glucose keeps changing, you know, what was good 30 years ago is not healthy now. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. So when that marker is moving, the goalpost is moving, you know, it still makes it hard. Oh, we're going to give you this pill. You're now your blood pressure is too high. Well, it was good 30 years ago. Oh no, we're learning more. Well, show me the results. There's no research. A lot of this is arbitrary. But once you understand, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole on research. We do that on another podcast. What you have to do is show, you know, that the present evidence, and it's common sense to most of us, especially if you're in any type of sport or fitness or wellness, you know, present evidence has accumulated to the point where we know that the health state involves more than a lack of detectable pathogens in the body or the attainment of certain lab goals, lab values. Health means more than that. I can't tell you, and now we're learning about mental health. How many times someone goes in, they get blood work, everything, you're doing fine. And that person's mental health is crazy. Well, they can't find the pathogen because they have high cortisol from anxiety or low serotonin because of depression. And they're still getting symptoms. They're still getting quote-unquote sick or illnesses. But, of course, the MD can't find it with traditional methods. So let's take that on. If that's not health, what is health? Well, the World Health Organization defined it in 1948, just after World War II. After WW2, we defined what health was. And I'm just going to quote it. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and is not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. I don't think we have to go any farther than that definition. There's a few that I'm going to give you, but I think that's wonderful. I'll say it again. The World Health Organization defined health in 1948. Health is a complete state of complete physical, complete mental, and complete social well-being, and is not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. That's a lot to bite off. That makes it a lot more complicated than, you know, watching a pharmaceutical commercial in between playoff basketball. That makes it a lot more complicated than taking this one pill. What does it mean to have cancer? What does it mean to have bad kidneys? What does it mean to have the skin condition? How does that affect me personally in my interactions with the external world, with my friends, my family, my neighbors, at my job? Can I work? Can I not work? How much time do I need off to get to my doctor lessons? You know, is my wife going to leave me? Is my husband going to leave me with this condition? Do my kids understand this condition? What does that mean? That's part of the social well-being. I would even say, when the World Health Organization was talking about mental, that includes that spiritual, that there's something beyond how we think, how we interact with the world, and us physically. There has to be something beyond that. You can call that spiritual if you want. Yes, it's part of mental and psychological, but the spiritual piece is there too. How do we get there? That makes it more complicated. Well, Fred, are you going to tell us how to do that? Oh, that I've been doing that for a while with many podcasts. But I want you to understand, when you're talking about traditional allopathic medicine, traditional quote-unquote healthcare, Western healthcare, we can say, but there's some good Western doctors starting to figure things out. When we're talking about that medical care, they will think you're dead on if you get these lab values right. And you may not be. That's where, here's some solutions. You have to advocate for yourself. One, advocate. I know, I'll just give my personal story. I lost my thyroid 20 years ago. I had Hashimoto's thyroiditis. It's a virus that destroys your thyroid gland. Wow, too bad for Fred. I did try natural methods for years. It was really screwing me up, could not get it, so they irradiated it and started giving me thyroid hormone.
Yep,
I take a pill every morning. Well, guess what? We couldn't find the right range. Even though my lab values would say, you're dead in the middle, Fred, or you're toward 75%, or you're down toward 25% of the low end. Just because the lab values were changed, I still had symptoms. I still wasn't myself before I got the virus. What does that mean? Well, luckily, I went through many doctors. I found a doctor that said, well, let's come in every 3 months and let's get this damn thing fixed. And because the, I kind of fibbed a little bit, I take two little pills every morning. Because the thyroid I have, or my body, excuse me, I don't have a thyroid, my body, my cells required a certain dose. And the pharmaceutical company didn't make that dose. So we had to take two small little ones to get the number I really want. I'll just give it away. You know, I don't, it's not personal. They would make a 0.25. I think they made it a 0.275, okay? So 0.25, 0.275. There's a lot of micrograms in between. Well, I take two 137s because that makes me feel better. A 0.275 is just too much, but 274, that tiny amount, makes me feel okay and keeps me in a range, and I have less symptoms. Fred, that's impossible. Yep, and it maybe it's just I take two little ones, it's absorbed better than the one big heavy one. Maybe it's the coating on the pills for absorption. These things are not considered usually in medicine. Maybe my body's allergic to the capsule. Maybe I need name brand. Maybe I need the generic. Maybe the generic from this company doesn't work for me because they use more calcium carbonate, you know, dolomite rock, in their compressing of the pill than this company. Maybe I'm allergic to the blue coloring on it. They don't even get into that extreme. And that would be more for me. That is wholeness. That is wellness. Even though I have to take a medicine, there's still more components than that. I'm not a car. If I'm sick, and you just can't put a new carburetor on me and I'll go. It doesn't work that way. So, but they've been taught that in medicine. And I understand, you know, 3,800 hours of school, or 3,600 hours of school, and there's so many things learned about the human body. They don't talk about the nuances of even the treatment, the pills. And because my numbers initially for years were in the range, they thought I was good. I was still sick, in my opinion, and my opinion counts. So what does that all mean, sitting back? Well, maybe there's something more to the word health. And I would say health is about thriving. Health is about every day being the best person you can be, the best human being you can be, the best example of Fred, that I can take on viruses and not get sick, like the recent pandemic. I'm still waiting. I can't, and it doesn't mean it wasn't in my body. Sure, it was around lots of people with it, but guess what? My body fought it off, and I was not symptomatic. Why? Because that's how it works. We're exposed to hundreds of viruses every day. Don't freak out. And your body fights it off, and yeah, it'll slough it off, and you give it to the next person, who most likely won't have symptoms either. But we've already done many podcasts on that. But I want to be in that thriving state, fighting off things. And that's a different idea. I want my nervous system optimized. I want my endocrinology, that's your hormones, optimized. Now, of course, in this real world, it's very hard. It'd be a full-time job, and some of my patients, that is their full-time job. They're so sick. But you'd have a full-time job trying to address this. There's got to be something more. And maybe it was described in 1959 by Dr. Dunn, Halbert Dunn, H-A-L-P-E-R-T-D-U-N-N, in 1959. And he argued that there were different levels of wellness or health. Some levels are depicted by states of passive adaptability to the environment. In other words, I didn't know, you know, worked out at the gym Sunday, may have interacted with a couple viruses or bacteria, fungi, and fought it off. And others, as a dynamic process, other defined wellness and health as a dynamic process in which the objective is the attainment of one's optimum potential. This is where I go. This is what health and wellness are. It's a dynamic process, always changing. My body's different now than it was 5 years ago, than when I was 5, 15, 25, 35, or 45. I'd love to go back there. But every year, every month, every day, there's slight changes to the human body. And it has to be dynamic, meaning it has to be adaptable. It has to constantly change to the internal and external environment. External, everything around us. Yes, the bugs and bacteria out there, but also the psychological, social, you know, the economy. Did you lose your job? Social things, you getting married, getting divorced. You have to be able to adapt to that. And that has physical ramifications. So we have to, that dynamic, constantly changing process has to lead us not in neutral, maintenance. I hear a lot of people doing maintenance. Oh, I'm on maintenance care. Okay. I mean, I know what they're saying. But really, there is no standing still. You're either moving forward in some ways or moving backwards. And the only way you would say that it's standing still or you're in neutral or you're parked or I'm on maintenance care is because of your perspective, because you're living in the moment, moment to moment. You're not standing back and looking over the day, the week, the month, the year, the decade, your lifetime. You're not seeing that, you know, up and down. You go up, you go down, you go up, you go down in health potential. So why don't we just look at that adaptability? That health and wellness should be an all-encompassing term focused on a dynamic, adaptive process toward your optimal functioning as in the individual, the family, and the community. What does that mean? Well, you don't see many people smoking now. We'll just use that as a good example. How has that changed the community? Well, when I grew up, they were still smoking on soap operas and in movies. And one of my parents smoked all the time, the other parent once in a while. So, of course, when I got to high school, even though I was a varsity football, you know, after practice, I'd light up. Yes, Fred did smoke here and there. Didn't like spending the money on them. And I didn't think anything of it. You know, I said, until they start saying, oh, we can get sick from this. You get lung disease. My common sense, you know, as I went into college, said, you know, I don't like my feeling when I do this. Can't breathe. It's affecting my powerlifting, my weightlifting. I'm not going to do this. Even though some of the guys I hung out with and were going to the Maryland Powerlifting Championships and my buddy Charles Sheezer, Chicks, TV repair van, they used to have TV repairmen that came to your house to fix those big heavy tubes. It's crazy. I know. There's dinosaurs around, as I tell my kids too about it. And, you know, he's opening the window so he can light up a cigarette. And none of us, it was nothing. It was like, you know, it wasn't even if he passed gas and had flatulence. That would have been worse, and we would have giggled. He lit up a cigarette, nobody even budged. They continue with the conversation. If that happened today in 2024, people are like, what are you doing? Don't smoke around me. Go outside and do that. Why don't you wait till we stop for food and you walk around and smoke in the parking lot? Because you can't smoke in the buildings. There is an example of health and wellness that affects the community. The individual's health, whether they smoke or not, affects the family. Oh my God, I remember my dad would smoke and it'd be cold, he'd roll up the windows. And if it was a long drive, you had to sit and stop, drop, and roll and get on the ground to get any oxygen because we were coughing and hacking, you know, and he'd just say, crack a window, you know. And I just remember that. It's like, that's just the way you lived. And we didn't even have seatbelts in the car. Truck, what was it? No, it was a station wagon. I think it was a Woody. Woody, an old-time station wagon with fake wood paneling on the side. That was funny. So if you look back to those things that they thought was a healthy lifestyle, it was okay to smoke. And now we know, nope, it wasn't. Studies, research, and the government's paying tons through Medicare, and I think that's what drove it, billions of dollars spent on lung cancer and strokes and heart attack related to tobacco smoke, then it became a change. The government had initiated, but it became a change, and now you watch TV, you're streaming something on Netflix, it says there's a warning. Graphic violence, rude language, and smoking. They warn you they're smoking in the movies. And that's a big change. That's toward thriving or prevention. That is amazing. How can we continue to move that way as an individual? Well, the most important thing is to think more about, being vital, being strong. I always tell my kids and tease them when they say they can't do something all that. And I said, you're young, you're full of vitality, And they just laugh and say, oh, Papa, just be quiet. But it's true. Are we focusing on doing the things we can do? Prevention, moving forward. My powerlifting and weightlifting is always about putting a little more weight on the bar. Can I eat a little better? Can I move a little better? And now that I have some orthopedic injuries, I'm constantly saying, okay, what can I do today to be better? I'm going to do some ice on my knees maybe a little later after I get this podcast done. I'm going to relax a little bit. I'm going to listen to music to calm my mind before a busy day. So let's start thinking of health as not fighting symptoms. I'm tired, I'm sick, I got a cough. Well, if you got two colds last winter, how about over the spring and summer and early fall, you say, okay, I just want one cold or no colds. I don't want any respiratory illness. What can I do? Can I pick up some cardio? Can I practice deep breathing 2 or 3 minutes every day? Can I increase my zinc? Zinc is the gatekeeper to the immune system. Can I increase my vitamin C, my vitamin E? If I don't want to take pills, can I look up and find foods? You have the internet now. In the old days, we used to have to do textbooks or go to the library. Or ask somebody, what foods have zinc in them? Oh, okay, some seafood. Okay, this food has the vitamin C. Well, it's an orange. Do you get your orange organically or do you get them from the supermarket, whether it's maybe devoid of vitamin C? These are the things we have to start thinking about. Well, Fred, that's a full-time task. No, just take a step back and do a little bit every day. 5 minutes every day to work on your health. I'm not saying 5 minutes of exercise is all you need. What I'm saying is 5 minutes of thinking and planning. There's so many self-improvement books out there and YouTube videos, and a lot of them talk about, having goals and setting your goals and looking at your goals every day and all that. That's amazing. And a lot of it has to do with money and economical things. Well, guess what? How about if you set those goals for your health? How about if you look 5 minutes every day, what can I do to my health today? All right. So today I'm going to make sure I get yogurt in. I want to make sure I get yogurt in, because usually a day like this where I start a little slower than go at night, I miss my yogurt. Okay. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, which I usually don't have yogurt, I'm going to mix that in there. I'm going to try to keep that up because I feel better when I have that. And I have more energy, and I move better if I sit back and really look. So that means your 5 minutes of what you can do better, look back and you have to do some self-reflection, introspection, journal, whatever you want to call it, diary, and say, you know what, I wasn't feeling too hot this week or whatever. What things can I do to improve it? I may not know the exact thing, but what will help it, Eating that yogurt is not going to have me running around like I had a pot of coffee. But I know the days I have that, my digestion's better, I feel better, I kind of move better. And I mean, can it just be that? Yeah, it could be. Let's just add it back, because it's not going to hurt me. It can only help me. All right, let's add yogurt. So there, I just did that in under 90 seconds. That's a nice reflection. And it could be anything. Oh, maybe I can walk an extra block today. What's that mean? I got it. You know what? I'm going to park farther away from the office today so I get another few steps in. Everyone's talking about getting their 10,000 steps. That's great. That's a good goal. But what else can you add? Why? It's amazing. I will see people that don't have disabilities or injuries or in pain or some type of infirmity wait to find the closest parking spot to the gym. You guys are all laughing out there because you know I'm right. People, here's a guy that's going to get on a treadmill or a bike, you know, or an attack bike or a rower and row for 45 minutes, but he doesn't want to walk that extra, you know, 100 feet. I mean, park away from your office. If you're stuck in a sedentary job, you're an accountant, you're doing data entry, park far away. That way you are forced. At lunchtime, go downstairs, go for a walk around the parking lot and sit on a park bench and then eat your lunch. You know? Take the stairs. Well, the stairs are too long. I work on the 25th floor. Okay, take it to the, I don't know, 20th floor. Get out and then take the stairs. There's always a way. If this was a vacation or a party or something socially you were excited to do, a hobby, you would figure out a plan. So put the same energy and effort into becoming thriving and well and into the attainment of your best potential a little bit every day. Put that same energy in as you do your hobbies. And you may have a better day. And understand that health is more than just being pain-free. There's a lot of pills that can make you pain-free for 30 minutes. It doesn't make you healthy. Let's get away from that definition. And this has been another Fact Podcast.